Hello everyone, good morning. Just glad to get away from the door, it's freezing. a little bit more warm up here. This morning, as James said, we're going to look at the passage in John chapter 1. But before we start, I'd like you just all to use your imagination a little bit and think of something or somewhere that's really dark. Maybe it's something, you know, something you've experienced. Maybe it's just your bedroom at night, or maybe it's an experience you've had in thinking of some really dark place that you've been to. And likewise, I'd like you to think of something that's really light. You know, that light could be anything. It could be a physical light, or it could be the sun, or whatever it might be. And and think of something that, when you think of light, something really bright, what is that? So think of something really dark and think of something really light. Because this morning we're going to look at those two opposites. We're going to look at the opposites of light and darkness. And then we're going to ask ourselves a couple of questions about, well, what does that mean to us? So the first thing we're going to simply look at is the light. Then we're going to simply look at, okay, well, what does the darkness mean? And then we're going to ask ourselves these two questions. Now, the person who wrote the book was John, and John was one of Jesus' disciples. So he had first-hand experience of hearing what Jesus had to say. You know, he lived with him for 3 years. And as an overarching theme of the book that John writes, he wants us to grasp how amazing Jesus is and what he has done. He writes all these things down for a specific purpose, and he tells us in chapter 20 of John, I'm writing all these things down so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you might have life in his name. John writes these things down so that we might understand them. And if you have your Bibles handy or your phone, whatever it might be, it'd be useful for you to have it as we look through these sections together. So John starts off by using the word or the term word to describe Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. But actually, one of the most important things that John wants us to know about this word is in verse 14. He says, the word became flesh and he dwelt among us. You see, the word that John wants us to understand is a person. And that word refers to Jesus Christ. So when he says, in the beginning was the word, he is talking about in the beginning was Jesus. And he uses the term word because he wants us to understand that this was the final and decisive message of God. Jesus, the things he said, the things he did, were the final words of God. And what John is doing in verses 1 and 2 is he's telling us some of the most important things about Jesus that we need to know. He wants us to know right from the beginning of his book, he lays it out right from the beginning, what it is, who Jesus is and what he has done. Notice in verse 1, Jesus was with God, and he was with God from the very beginning. From the beginning of history, from the beginning of time, Jesus was with God. And he wants us to know Jesus was God. So he wants to make it clear to them that Jesus was with God, Jesus was God from the very beginning. And he wants us to know that Jesus made the universe. And he was active in creation. Everything that exists was made with Jesus involved. And he tells us in that in verse 3. So Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. And later on he'll tell us Jesus was the one who laid down his life for us. And he created the universe. So John wants us to know these things right up front. He wants us to be clear about it. But also, as I mentioned, he wants us to know very much that Jesus was human. It is important to remember that Jesus didn't come and appear magically or mythically as a human being. He actually became one. He became flesh in verse 14. And let's not kind of lose the sense of how incredible that would have been for people to hear at the time. You know, gods and humanity, gods and humans, you know, they don't mix. But John wants us to be clear that Jesus was both God and man. That Jesus was with the Father at the very beginning of time. That Jesus created the universe. He was fully God and he was fully man. John goes on to say in verse 4 that Jesus was the very source of life. If we read in verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus was the very source of life. Because Jesus existed and he created the universe, well, he's the very source of life himself. And Jesus and John goes on then to say that the person and life of Jesus is a light to all mankind. So let's think about, well, what is that light? When you thought of a light, what did you think about? Well, you might have thought maybe of a lighthouse. You might have thought of the sun. You might have thought, you know, it's nice and light in here. You know, I thought of car lights. Sadly, when I thought about it, I thought of Rod Gilbert. Now, some of you might know Rod Gilbert. He's a comedian, a Welsh comedian. And he goes on a rant, basically, about a torch that he buys that has the power of 1 million candles. And I would have shown you a small clip, but the language part is a little bit fruity. And so, but he goes on, he can't really grasp how powerful is 1 million candles. And he goes on and on and on about this torch that he bought worth 1 million candles and the light of 1 million candles. But when we think of Jesus and the light that Jesus brings, in verse 9 it tells us, he is the true light that gives light to every man. So when we think of the light that Jesus gives, in verse 9 it tells us, Jesus is life and that shines as light. And it provides so much light that every person in this world can see that light. So to give light to every person is some statement. To illuminate everyone or everything with light. So Jesus is God, he is man, and he's the very source of life and light. Well, let's just think about then, well, what is the darkness then? Because John immediately contrasts this image of light with darkness. As soon as the light is introduced in verse 4, he goes on and introduces the darkness in verse 5. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. It's a bit of a strange phrase to say that the darkness has not understood anything. Darkness doesn't really have any feelings. It doesn't have any emotions. It doesn't reason. It can't really argue. So what John is referring to here is the darkness of people's minds and hearts, really. He's using it figuratively. And when we walk around in the dark, it's easy to get lost. I have many experiences of trying to go night walking in the mountains with my friends in my younger days. And frequently, we would get lost. We think we would be able to follow the map really accurately, but we would get lost. Or distances are so much further or so much closer, depending on your perspective, when they're in the dark. It's really hard to judge where you're going if you're only walking by the moonlight. And so people, John is referring to people in darkness here. They don't really have any understanding. They get lost. They're in confusion. And what was the dark place that you imagined right at the beginning? Well, the dark place I imagined was Big Pit. I don't know how many of you have been to Big Pit, but you can put on the miner's gear. You can put on the helmet. You have a little lamp on the top. And then you go down in the mine, and they walk you around the mining. It's super interesting. And one of the places that really struck me was at a point in the tour, is they describe how, you know, children as young as, I think, 10 would be down the mines, and they would have responsibility for opening and shutting this one door. And if they didn't shut the door, then it was really dangerous because the coal was coming along and so on and so forth. And then they switch off the lights. They ask everyone to switch off their lamp, and it is pitch black. You can put your hand in front of your face and you cannot see anything. That is what I imagined when I was in darkness. The other one is the boys' bedroom. Upstairs, they have shutter blinds that, you know, you can complete darkness. And when you go up there in the night, that can be quite confusing. It's dark, plus there's stuff all over the floor. So you're walking around and you're stepping on their toys, or, you know, their clothes are all over the floor or whatever, and you stumble around and you can hurt yourself or whatever as you're trying to get through their bedroom. And whatever that place you imagined as darkness, John wants us to have that image. He wants us to have an image of darkness. And the one he wants us to have is around people being confused about God and life. And the Bible is clear that naturally all of us are in darkness. Okay? If not all of us here, we were in darkness. All the world is in darkness. Right from the start of the Bible and the beginning of history, we read that people are sinful. They are in darkness. They do wrong against God, and they don't understand, or they don't even see it. And this imagery is used elsewhere in the Bible. In the Old Testament, Isaiah, in chapter 60, he talks about darkness covering the earth, a thick darkness covering over the peoples. And he contrasts that with the light of God. Or in Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, the pillar of light that would shine and show them the way. And John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah the priest, before he was born, he's talk about people being in darkness and in the shadow of death. And so John wants us to understand that this darkness is in all of our hearts. And when we see the light, quite often people don't recognize it. They don't understand it. And there will always be those who refuse to even recognize the light or to come to the light. And John in chapter 3 talks about that. Paul talks about it in Corinthians, where he talks about some people are blinded to the light and they just can't see it. And so we have life and light through Jesus and a world in darkness that doesn't understand the light. So let's just take this a little bit further and see how this applies to us. Let's ask ourselves a couple of questions. First of all, a question here that hopefully many of you can answer. Have you seen the light? And do you have life? Quite a simple question. Have you seen the light? And do you have life? And that's a question that every one of us here should be able to answer. Whether we're young or old, we should be able to answer this question. Have you seen the light? And do you have life? Because if Jesus is the light that shines on every human being, that includes each one of us here this morning, he is the very source of life. Have you accepted that life that Jesus brings? Have you seen the light? John goes on to mention in verse 12 of chapter 1 how we can receive that life. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Bible is very clear that you must receive Jesus. The Bible is very clear that we can't just carry on in the darkness and hope that one day I will be saved. You must seek him. Because Jesus is interested in you and he's inviting you. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as light this morning, he's inviting you this morning. He's urging you to come to him. Because for those who come to him, he offers eternal life. And he will adopt us as one of his children. Later on in John chapter 8 verse 12, and the reference here is wrong, but the verse is right. And when Jesus spoke again to the people, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, the Bible is very clear that it's only through one person, the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that we can be children of God. He alone offers the light of life. In Acts, Paul says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. We must receive him. We must believe. We must trust in him and we must follow him. And then we will not walk in darkness. See, Jesus is the rescue package. And Paul says to the Colossian church, Jesus has rescued us from darkness. And he's brought us into the kingdom of Jesus, the one he loves. He is the one who provides forgiveness of sins in Colossians chapter 1. Well, you might be thinking, well, it doesn't really matter what I believe as long as I'm sincere. You might be thinking, well, how do I get to heaven? Because most people, the vast majority of people that you'll meet, will think, it doesn't really matter. We'll all end up there one day. As long as we're sincere, if we try hard, if we do our best, if we're kind to others, then we'll end up with Jesus. We'll end up in heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Let's be clear. The Bible teaches us that we are all in darkness. We are all full of sin. We have all done wrong things. And the Bible tells us good. So the Bible says our kindness and our goodness, well, it's never really going to be good enough to get us to heaven. Because God's demands are perfect. And if that is what we think, then we will remain in darkness. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one is going to be in heaven except through me, except through Jesus. And just like, well, imagine if we are ill. It's very, maybe this illustration isn't very good because there isn't a cure for coronavirus. But, you know, we can imagine if we are ill. Maybe you're in sick. Maybe you're sick or maybe you're in pain in some way and you go to see the doctor. As we all would. And, you know, the doctor examines you and he gives you the prognosis. And there's good news, there is a cure, but you need to take this medicine, you need to take it 3 times a day and you'll be okay. Would you be a fool to go to the pharmacy and say, well, I want a different medicine. I want something, I just want to try something else. Well, but they'd be like, well, you've been prescribed this medicine. This will make you better. Well, no, I'll just take that one over there. Well, you'd be a fool to not take the advice of the doctor. And likewise, for us, we are given clarity. We are told, if you have not seen the light, then Jesus is the way. Jesus is the light. He is the one, the way, the truth, and the life. And you can come to him today. Because if you haven't accepted that light, or if you're not sure, then you can come to him today. Now, God's not going to beg you to come. God is not going to compromise for you to come to him. He lays his terms down, and you are to meet them. Jesus wants you to come to him. He's inviting you to come to him. He's urging you to come. But he's not begging. God is God. We are sinful human beings. And he simply says, come to me if you will. His call is clear, but it's not easy. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple, well, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus doesn't make any claims that it will be easy, but it is worth it. He gives us life and life eternal. And if you want to have the light and life, but you're not sure really what to do, then come and ask someone. Come and ask myself, come and ask one of the elders. And we can help and show you how to understand more and to know about the light if you feel you're still in the darkness. So that's the first question. Have you seen the light? And do you have life? Then secondly, well, how much light is in your life? For those of you who are Christians, and that's probably the majority of us here this morning, it's amazing to know that we have the light of Jesus Christ in us. We can say that his light shines in our hearts. And in having this light, we have experience of God, we have a knowledge of God, and Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians. But we are called to live in that light. And we should expect the light of Jesus Christ to shine out to those around us. It's an expectation of us. We should be conscious that there is light looking into our hearts, and a desire and an expectation that light is shining upon our friends, the people we meet, maybe our family, the community around us. And Jesus says that we are to be lights in this world. And our light should shine before other people in Matthew chapter 5. Or Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, he says we are to be children of light. And when he writes to the church in Philippi, he explains that if they live in a certain way, they'll be like stars shining in the sky in Philippians chapter 2. So we are called to shine. But I don't know about you, but sometimes when I ask myself that question, I really do wonder if I shine at all. My conversations with people about God are probably sporadic at best. And even less so when talking about Jesus. We can ask the question whether people actually notice whether we are different at all. Do they really see that they are in darkness and we are in the light? Is the light of Jesus really shining through me or through us? And sometimes it can be pretty discouraging. Occasionally it can be real joy as we get the opportunity to talk of Jesus and explain Jesus to others. But it is good for us to stop and to reflect how authentic we are as followers of Jesus and how the light of God's word is really shining in our own lives. And how is that shining to others? But also we're really fortunate that there are some really useful passages in the Bible that can help us to think about how can we be lights in this world. And a couple of those passages are Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 and Philippians 2. I'll bring out a couple of things from those passages, but I really encourage you just to take the time yourself just to really read through Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5, because both of those culminate or are very much talking about being lights in the community where they are. Ephesians 4 and 5 are talking about how we can be children of light. And then Philippians 2 specifically leads up to this image of being stars shining amongst our communities. So let me just pull out a few things that Paul brings out in these passages. Because there's a direct link between how we live and how we shine. The Bible's quite clear of that. In John chapter 1, 5 and 6, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie. And we live out the truth. And one of the ways that Paul tells us that we can shine is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. He says, live a life of love. With Jesus as our example and our benchmark, we are to have the same love as Jesus. Paul gives an example. He says, well, one of the ways that we can love like Jesus is to be kind. We can be compassionate to one another. We can forgive one another just as God forgave you. And our love for Jesus and our love for others should shine through. And if we are loving in the way that Jesus loves, then that will be a light to the world around us. Another way that we can show and shine is if our minds and our attitudes are like Jesus. And we find this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. And this kind of, the more I think about it, the more it kind of blows my mind that how we are to think like Jesus as well as to follow him. And once we start to really be thinking about how we should think and our attitudes should be like Jesus, that impacts everything. It impacts our relationships to one another. It impacts our relationship to our community, to our money, to our work, to social justice around us. It affects the way we think and act and live on a daily basis. And the more that we investigate Jesus' views and actions in these areas, the more and more we see how, well, that's completely different to the culture that we're in. It's completely countercultural than today's societies. The more that we read about the way that Jesus was, the things that he said on in the Gospels, we see that it's so different to today's society. And if our minds and our attitudes are like Jesus's, then that will be like a light to the world. Another way that we can shine is quite a simple one, is we can just be full of thanksgiving. How much about what we hear around us, whether it's our colleagues, or whether it might be our friends, or people from school, or people you speak to, how much of our time is spent on grumbling, or complaining, or arguing about certain things? And Paul calls us to be thankful, full of thanksgiving. Think about what God, and recognize what God has given us, and be thankful for it. And not be people who grumble or argue. And that would be a light to this world. We're told also to value others above ourselves. How much of our society is about being number one? I spend a lot of time in work, and so much of the conversation is about reaching the top, being a really good leader, being number one. Quite often it's kind of dog eat dog, or, you know, how do I get one over on someone else, or how am I perceived to be doing really good work, and so on and so forth. But we're not to be like that. We should not be looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others. We're to be unselfish and not proud. And lastly, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about we're to really work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Well, you might think, well, what has that got to do with being a light outside? Well, it's about this inward looking, about how we can continually seek to be more and more like Jesus, to be sanctified, to be desiring and to be like him. And through this process, we'll be refined and we'll shine more and more. And so these are just some of the characteristics that Paul says will shine a light on those around us. It'll shine a light in the darkness around us. And if we live like this, then people, what will they see? Well, they'll see goodness, they'll see righteousness, and they'll see truth. So if we walk in the way of love, we're like-minded like Jesus Christ was, we're full of thanksgiving, we value others above ourselves, we're not selfish, we're not proud, and if we work out our fear and our salvation with fear and trembling, if we're like this, then Paul tells us we will be lights, we will shine around us. Now on the flip side, Paul also spends a bunch of time in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 talking about loads of things we should not do. Things that are in darkness, so things like, there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality in our lives. There shouldn't be impurity, there shouldn't be greed, there shouldn't be obscenities, we shouldn't be talking foolishly about different things. We shouldn't have bitterness, we shouldn't be angry, we shouldn't be full of lies. These are all fruitless, Paul says, and they're shameful. And ultimately that means our light is dimmed. And there's loads of other examples in the Bible about how we can shine. But Paul sums it up, all of it, and says, if you are to shine, he says in Ephesians 5 verse 15, be careful how you live. There is a direct relationship between how we live and how we shine for Jesus Christ. But just remember that the source of life and light is Jesus himself. It is him that is changing us. This isn't some kind of self-help. Oh, I'm going to try and do this, try and do that. Jesus has shone a light in our hearts. Jesus is transforming us. He wants us to be more and more like him. And it requires effort on our part. It requires us to pray, to consider with God the areas of our lives that need to be refined. It's not like magic that suddenly we're going to be shining around us. There's a direct impact between the light that we shine out and the relationship we have with Jesus and the things and the way he wants us to live. And if we do that, we'll shine more and more. But as Dan talked about last week, we're to be ourselves. God has chosen, he's equipped us to for this, and we're not alone. And Dan spent some time talking to us about that. But as we shine for him, we should naturally be speaking to others about him. There should be a natural outpouring of our lives to be more like Jesus. And I challenge us all here this morning. When was the last time you spoke to someone about Jesus? When was the last time you mentioned Jesus in a conversation with someone? Whether it be a friend, maybe a colleague, a neighbour, or a family member. Because how many of our friends, how many of our families are actually missing the big news? How desperate would it be if they continued in the darkness and we're the ones with the light and we don't even mention the light in our day-to-day living? We don't even mention Jesus to them. And I know that can be scary. Sometimes it's because of we're quite simply afraid. Sometimes we're too self-conscious. Maybe sometimes we're too proud. But ultimately, we are called to be light. We are called to tell people the good news of Jesus. And I want you to imagine that same place, that dark place, wherever it was. For me, as I said, it was down a coal mine. I just imagine just a little candle in that room. For us, when we're down the coal mine, switched on the light. Just imagine a candle, pretty feeble, or even a match. That darkness is no longer dark. A little candle can dispel a whole room of darkness. And the darkness can do nothing about it. See, light and darkness are opposites. But they're not opposites of equal power. Light is stronger than darkness. Darkness cannot prevail against it. And did you know that if you're on a mountain and it was a pitch black night, imagine there were no stars, you could see a candle flame from 30 miles away. The earth has to be flat for this analogy to work. But, or 48 kilometers away. But that's how far a small candle would show if it was pitch black. See, the light will shine even if it's a very small light. And darkness can't overcome those who walk in the light. And John talks about it in John chapter 12 and also in 1 John chapter 2. The darkness can't overcome the light. And so I want to encourage you this morning, that however small that light is, it does shine. But God calls us to be lights in this world. And as we look forward, it's wonderful to think that heaven doesn't need a light. Because it tells us in Revelation chapter 21, well, heaven doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it, or whatever light you might have been thinking. For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb, Jesus, is its lamp. We're not in heaven yet. But we are called to be lights in this world. And let's just finish with this verse for us all to ponder on. Maybe this is a verse that we can all take away with us. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So if you haven't seen the light this morning, look for it. Seek for it. Ask for someone to explain more about it. And if you do have the light in your life, you are a Christian here this morning, May God have the glory as we let the light of Jesus shine in our lives.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Let's sing together, Light of the World, You Came Down into Darkness.